From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, he brings the next portion of a message called Dissension in Antioch. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please listen to this devotional thought from Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 18 and verse 8. Jesus said unto them, If ye seek me, let these go their way. Mark, my soul, the care which Jesus manifested even in his hour of trial towards the sheep of his hand. The ruling passion is strong in death. He resigns himself to the enemy, but he interposes a word of power to set his disciples free. As to himself, like a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. But for his disciples' sake, he speaks with almighty energy. Herein is love, constant, self-forgetting, faithful love. But is there not far more here than is to be found upon the surface? Have we not the very soul and spirit of the atonement in these words? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and pleads that they must therefore go free. The surety is bound, and justice demands that those for whom he stands a substitute should go their way. In the midst of Egypt's bondage, that voice rings as a word of power, Let these go their way. Out of the slavery of sin and Satan, the redeemed must come. In every cell of the dungeons of despair, the sound is echoed, Let these go their way. And forth come despondency and much afraid. Satan hears the well-known voice and lifts his foot from the neck of the fallen. And death hears it, and the grave opens her gates to let the dead arise. Their way is one of progress, holiness, triumph, glory, and none shall dare stay them in it. No lion shall be on their way, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. The hind of the morning has drawn the cruel hunters upon himself, and now the timid roes and hinds of the field may graze at perfect peace among the lilies of his loves. The thundercloud has burst over the cross of Calvary, and the pilgrims of Zion shall never be smitten by the bolts of vengeance. Come, my heart, rejoice in the immunity which thy Redeemer has secured thee, and bless his name all the day and every day.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it calls. Causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you
Were
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. After their first missionary journey to a number of cities in Asia Minor, Paul and Barnabas returned to the church in Antioch to report on the souls that had been saved and the churches that had been established. Although the news was met with much rejoicing on the part of some, there were others who insisted that the Gentile converts be required to submit to the Jewish ceremonial law, especially circumcision, in order to be saved. This was an attack of the devil upon the basic tenets of the gospel of Christ, salvation by grace alone, and the finality and sufficiency of Christ's work on the cross. This was nothing short of heresy, a satanic attack which is still being carried on today. Now to continue this message called Dissension in Antioch, here is Dr. Cairns.
It is relatively simple to deal with the devil on the outside so long as the Spirit of God is in control on the inside. But when the devil gets on the inside, then I tell you, we have a dangerous, difficult situation. Now he goes to the very heart of the gospel. Now he seeks to bring to naught the work of God, not by clipping at the branches, as it were, but by going to the very root of what the Church of Jesus Christ is called to stand for. He starts at the heart of the gospel, and he denies the efficient, sufficient, final work of Jesus Christ, and he denies that salvation is by grace alone. Now the devil is still pursuing the same line. In fact, he has pursued it right throughout the centuries. For centuries, indeed from the very earliest days after the apostles, and if you'd like to go into the book of Galatians, you'll find that even during the days of the apostles, for centuries the devil has had false teachers who have substituted a doctrine of human merit for divine grace, and a system of human effort for the all-sufficient sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. For centuries, down through what history calls the Dark Ages. This was what was known as the gospel. Throughout those dark ages, the Roman popes had their teachers all over the world, and are all over the so-called Christian world, and they were teaching salvation by merit. In fact, it's laughable, if it weren't so serious, to read what their theologians had to say about it. They had a very complex system of theology, all worked out on this doctrine of merit. They had what they called congruent merit. And then they had what they called condign merit. Now, I'm not going to bother your brains with the stupid distinctions of theologians whose names are best forgotten. All I'm trying to show you is that they were teaching salvation by the merit of man. That in some way man could merit the favor of God. And of course, when they reach that position, they have got to bring into play a doctrine of sacrifice, a doctrine of the Mass, a doctrine that takes away the finality and the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ. Man has to put something in place of the finished work of Christ. Now, the devil was at that job for centuries. And then came the greatest revival in history. Since the day of Pentecost, the glorious Protestant Reformation. Now, the great basis of the Reformation is often misunderstood. So often you will hear it said that the basic doctrine of the Reformation is justification by faith. It is not. And I say that again. Justification by faith is not the basic doctrine of the Reformation. It is a vital doctrine of the Reformation. But something much more basic lay underneath it, and you could say gave birth in the preaching of the Reformers to it. And that is the doctrine that salvation is by the sovereign grace of a sovereign God. That's the basic doctrine, the basic biblical principle of the Reformation. If you like to read a little church history, you'll find that there was an eminent scholar, possibly the most eminent Bible scholar of his generation, called Erasmus. Erasmus was a lover of peace. He was a strong devotee of Romanism. In fact, he was more a skeptic than a Christian. But with all that, he did not want to enter the fray against Martin Luther. Since nobody else could deal with Luther, however, nobody else had the learning and the power to deal with Luther, he was at last forced by his devotion to the Pope to come in against Luther. Now, when he came in, finally, he went right to the heart of the matter. Previously, eminent men, Dr. Eck and others, had come to fight with Luther over indulgences, paying for the forgiveness of sins. But now this great man of letters and learning comes along and he sweeps aside all talk of indulgences. He doesn't take Martin Luther on that. He doesn't, as so many others have sought to do before him and after him, call Luther an immoral rascal because he realized that was not true. Rather, he went right to the heart of the matter and he wrote against Luther's teaching on the human will in its role in salvation. Erasmus's book then, and he was very fearful about it. As he said to Henry VIII, it's launched now, this little book is launched, for better or for worse. And what's it all about? On the freedom of the human will. Now let's get our terms straight. What he meant by freedom of will is freedom to choose to do good so that the favor of God may be obtained. When Luther wrote finally against Erasmus, he thanked him for going to the heart of the matter. Thanked him for forgetting about all these peripheral issues and going to the real issue on which everything else hangs. And then he wrote one of the greatest works in the history of theology. It is called The Bondage of the Will, in which, in conjunction with the other reformers, he taught man's will contributes nothing in obtaining the favor of God and thereby obtaining God's salvation.
Man's will contributes nothing. Today, that is still a thorny problem for most preachers. The gospel of the 20th century is essentially the gospel of Rome in the 15th century and the 16th century. The gospel of modern Protestant evangelists is so often little more than the gospel of Erasmus dressed up. God has done his part. Now you do your part. My friend, let me tell you that the reformers saw the heart of the gospel, that it is a gospel of salvation totally, absolutely, completely, from A to Z, as we say, or Z as you say, from beginning to end, of the grace of God. There is not a part or a particle of goodness left in human nature since the fall that can merit anything but the wrath of God. When you turn to Romans chapter 1, you find that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Luther rightly said that that is exactly the same form as saying that the wrath of God is revealed against the ungodliness of all men. Now notice the words. The Holy Ghost doesn't put words in for nothing. The wrath of God is not only revealed against unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness. Is there a distinction? There certainly is. The ungodliness of men is the natural depravity of the human heart. The ungodliness is the root of sin transmitted from our first father through every generation of his sons born by natural generation. And the fruit then is unrighteousness. And the wrath of God is revealed against both. There are preachers who will tell you that original sin will never damn a soul. They would need to go back to their Bible. Because if there is no root left, I can't see how there can be any fruit left. And if ungodliness has been destroyed in every man, then unrighteousness will have been destroyed in every man. It's impossible for a man who has no ungodly nature, no basic ungodliness, to live in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed against both. Can you talk then about human willpower to will that which is good in the sight of God? My friend, I want you to get this very clearly. The Bible teaches, this is what the apostles were contending for in Acts 15. It's what the reformers contended for in their day, that the will of man contributes nothing but to his damnation. Men say, are we not free? Are you? Does the Bible say that your will without Christ is free? The Bible doesn't ever tell me that man's will is free. Let me tell you this. The Bible tells me that men are led captive by the devil at his will. Does that sound like what men call free will? The Bible tells me that men are the children of wrath. And they have their conversation in all manner of ungodliness. I find when I turn to Ephesians chapter 2, a picture of the blackest, bleakest domination of man by the devil while he's outside of Christ. Of course, we need to understand exactly what we're talking about. Men choose. And men act according to their own nature. You see, put it this way. Men, by the fall, have a heart that's against God. Now, in that connection, they're free to choose. But a sinner, an ungodly man, will choose unrighteousness. When we talk about man's will contributing nothing to his own salvation, what we're saying is this, that men
without the sovereign intervention of God can do nothing that will merit God's favor. That's what we're saying. And I'm standing today for the gospel that Paul stood for, that salvation is 100% of grace. And of course, there's a second point in the apostles and the reformers' scheme in the gospel, that salvation is on the merits of Christ alone. That is the finality and the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ. It is His blood and His righteousness. And when He said, finished, He meant it. You know, men have never liked the doctrine of the finished work of Christ. But it's there nonetheless, and it's basic to the gospel. And this merit of Christ is received by faith alone. I have no doubt that these Judean teachers, since they were in the Christian church, would have said, we believe in the merits of the work of Christ. Just as Romanism through the centuries has said, we believe in the merits of the work of Jesus Christ. And indeed, that declaration is the basis of the whole modern church unity movement. But it's a false declaration, just as these men's declaration was false. Oh yes, we believe in the work and the merits of Jesus Christ, but to receive that merit, we must not only exercise faith, we must exercise works. Now, my friend, the gospel message is that by grace are ye saved through faith. The great principles of the gospel are grace alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone. By grace are you saved through faith. It never makes sense to the carnal reasoning of ungodly men how faith in Jesus Christ can bring a man from the road to hell to the road to heaven. Never makes sense. But I tell you, it makes sense to God Almighty. And the Lord has said, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. And even that faith, according to Ephesians 2, is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not worked up by men. It's the gift of God, that no man should boast in God's sight. I wonder this morning, as we look at the very heart of the gospel, are you depending on merit, or are you depending on Christ? I wonder, are you seeking to add to the finished work of Jesus Christ? I wonder, are you in the position of these teachers from Judea of seeking to get to heaven by the blood of Christ plus baptism, the blood of Christ plus good works, the blood of Christ plus some effort of the flesh? I'll tell you, you'll either be in heaven by Christ's merits alone, or you'll not be in heaven at all. For no flesh will glory in God's sight. There'll be no entrance to heaven except by the full and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the very heart of the gospel. And that's what was under attack in Antioch. That's what the devil hid during those long dark ages in past history, and that's what he is attacking again today. And that's the heresy, that we must ever be on our guard against. Let nothing be added to Christ. You remember a few Sabbath evenings ago we were looking at the text taken from the record of the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus only. Jesus only. We need add nothing to Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.